Blog Talk Radio.
Joining us from this evening. It is a gorgeous Sunday evening here in Connecticut. We had weather today in the 60s, so we were super blessed. I have two amazing guests on for this evening. My first guest is hanging out in the virtual green room, and my first guest is Mr. Rexton Lee. He's a gentleman that I was blessed to be on a show this past Thursday, and I heard his story and I said, what an amazing story. He is fit to be on a Sunday show, and I was so honored when he says yes. So in a moment, you're going to be hearing from him. I want to welcome guest 141 to the show. And the number to call to be part of the conversation is 646-915-8166. 646-915-8166. And before I bring my guests on live and before I go into the task of hand, I want to read one entry from one of my books, Celebrating 365 Days of Gratitude. I also want to encourage you, the listeners, to check out my new platform at DaphneClarkHudsonEmpowers.com. So go there, fill out the mailing list, and get some free gifts from there. And before I bring Rexton in, I'm going to play one of his music, but before I do that, just give me an opportunity to bless you with the entry from Karen Wintress. Gratitude can be expressed daily in simple ways. Opportunities to show gratitude are all around, and we can benefit greatly by recognizing and acknowledging them. The sounds of children playing on the nearby playground may bring back childhood memories. You could express your gratitude by calling an old school chum that you haven't spoken to in years. The smile of someone sitting across from you at the breakfast table can bring feelings of gratitude. Express your gratitude by leaning over, touching them, and telling them how much they mean to you. Or you could be grateful for finally cleaning out that sweater drawer. You now have more space and have given the gift of warmth to someone else. Maybe someone in your life is feeling down, and a song you sing to them, such as "Light, You Light Up My Life," will be expression of gratitude to them. If you live alone, you may find it more difficult to express your gratitude, but you can write in a journal or go out and volunteer. Remember to express your gratitude. It may simply take some words accompanied by touch, a look, a song, or entry in your gratitude journal. But what a difference this can make in someone else's life. And before I bring my second guest on, I will read you one more entry. And while I bring my guest on, I want to play, because I think I have 4 songs of his. He's going to be on for 45 minutes, and I want to make sure I get an opportunity to play them all. So why don't I play this song, Wild and Reckless, before I bring Rexton on. So ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Rexton Lee.
Oh, let me tell you this story about this girl I used to know. Cowboy boots, a brunette with long legs. I tell you, she was something else. Man, if she only knew that I've been dreaming about the things that young boys do, hoping she was thinking the same thing too. Well, I was just a family boy, her daddy's fear, her mama's joy. If I could make her
brother. Thank you so much for agreeing to be on this show with me. I listen to you and the amazing Michael Koch and Victoria, the news ladies show, and you know, we have something in common. You had a devastating thing happen to you when you were 13, and right. I had something happen to me when I was 13. So when I hear that, I say, oh my heavens, I got to get him on my show, because I lost my mother. I lost my mother when I was 13 years old. And, you know, as people will hear your story. So why don't you use this time to tell people what it is you want them to know about Rexton Lee?
Oh, what to know about Rexton Lee? I guess you all know the story that you speak of. It was our house fire we experienced when I was 13.
Mm-hmm.
You know, total devastation. You know, you always hear of things happening like that to other people. You don't mm-hmm. never think you're going to come home and everything you got's gone.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I've always been what's the old saying? What doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
Stronger.
That
yep.
That was something that told me, shaped mm-hmm. me at an early age.
Mm-hmm.
And they call me an old soul.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's because of an experience like that I went through with mm-hmm. losing everything. But you know, out of all the devastation we had and all the loss that we had with that fire, you know, there's a bonding time that brings you mm-hmm. closer together with your family. And you know, the only thing that was saved out of everything of mine was an old guitar that I had.
Mm.
It was just sitting in the closet, and it was kind of funny. I taught myself how to play on that guitar, and it totally, changed my life.
Wow. And as I can remember from listening to the conversation with you and Michael last week, you taught yourself music.
I did. You know, it was kind of just a thing to do in high school, to have something to do and to sit around and, be the center of attention, really. But
mm-hmm.
once I started playing, it just became so much more than that.
Wow.
It just totally engulfed my life,
and
it's been a part of it ever since.
Wow. I listened to your songs. I listened to the songs when you send them to me, and I am trying to figure out, does spirituality, I remember you saying that you write your own songs and you do your own music and all of that. And I said, people would listen to them and they wouldn't say, well, they are gospel songs or they are spiritual songs. Yet you can't say they are secular songs either. So does spirituality plays any role in your musical life?
It does. It plays a huge role. And when I started playing, I got invited to join my church band that I was attending while I was in my teens. I was about 15, 16 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And, it was a contemporary Christian band. So it wasn't an old Southern gospel type band that most
mm-hmm.
folks speak of.
Mm-hmm.
I started playing in church.
That's right.
But that whole, on the music side of things,
mm-hmm.
The production side of we were huge. It was a big band. There's like 15 members in this band. So, I mean, it was
mm-hmm.
huge. And
mm-hmm.
I'm just a kid up here playing. But
wow.
then, the lyrical aspect of the songs that we were playing, Casting Crown songs, Mercy Me, Chris Tomlin,
mm-hmm.
and, the way their songs are written and how they reach people through lyrics,
mm-hmm.
It helps shape my writing abilities.
Wow.
I've always said I've got two nephews. I got an 8-year-old nephew and a 5-year-old nephew. And I said, I'll mm-hmm. never play a show that my 8 and 5-year-old nephews can't come watch.
Wow, isn't that beautiful? What a legacy. What a legacy. And we just pray that other musicians will be able to listen to the statement you have made. Because a lot of times when entertainers step on that stage, you wonder if they think that one day their children or their grandchildren and great-grandchildren will be watching these shows.
Right.
So,
and
I've
always believed that I'm a real family-oriented guy anyways. And some of the shows that are out there in the acts, some of them, that's their own thing. That ain't my cup of tea, though.
That's right. I don't
get up for it. So.
Mm-hmm. Somebody look on my radio show and see your handsome picture spinning around, and she asked me how old he is. I said, well, you can get your opportunity to call into the show and ask him tonight. So
I'll surprise you.
I'll
surprise you with how old I am.
How old are you?
People, I'm 24, and
oh yeah, you're still a baby.
Oh yeah, that's what everybody says, and I've been blessed to play music for a living since I was 19.
Wow, so what a blessing!
It has been, and oh. I can imagine. I got a CD. My first real CD I'm putting out comes out November 20th. Finally
yes,
got a set date on it.
Nice.
And,
well, I hope I'll be blessed to play some of the music on this show again.
You'll
wow.
get the first copy, girl. You will get the first copy. How about that?
All right. Now, we won't let Michael know. That's our secret, okay?
Okay. That'd be our secret.
We won't let Michael. We won't let Michael hear. We won't let Michael hear. I have three more songs to play. And would you like to say anything else now before I play one more song? And which song would you like me to play next?
I think the four songs I sent you was Wild and Reckless, One True Love,
mm-hmm.
I Think to Love Somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And what was the four? I can't remember the fourth one I said. My mind's so scattered.
I'm over you.
Yep. You can play One True Love. One True Love is the first song I ever wrote.
Oh,
One True Love allowed me to sign my first record deal with RCA, and it allowed me to sign my first writing deal where I was writing songs for a living with Sony Tree in Nashville. And so that's like my little baby. That's all.
All right, now. So, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Rexton Lee with One True Love. Come on, technology here.
You gotta love technology.
I tell you. Come on, technology. Not sure. Not sure why it's not playing here. If you are just joining me, I'm on with Mr. Rex and Leon. We're trying to get One True Love to play, and it's just not playing in the queue. Well, I'm going to come back to that. Let me try one or the other one. I'm over you and see what happens. Come on. Yeah, I don't know what's wrong with the other one. We'll go back to it. This is I'm over you. I'm not sure what's happening here. This is not good.
It does it sometimes, Steve. It'll get you. Technology will sneak up on you.
Yes, yes. I don't know why this is not.
There's a light.
You don't know what it's like.
Certain kind of light. It's never shone on me. I want my life to be live with you, just you. There's a way they all say to do each and every little thing. What good does it bring if I ain't got you, if I ain't got you? Baby, you don't know what it's like. Baby, you don't know what it's like to love somebody, to love somebody. The way I love you. In my head, I see your face again. I know my frame of mind. You ain't gotta be so. I'm a man, Can't you see what I am? I live and breathe for you. But what good does it do if I ain't got you? If I ain't got us?
Right, was Mr. Rexon Lee.
You don't know what it is.
Tell me about that song
that I actually did not write. That is actually an old
I know
Bee
you
Gees.
Didn't write that because I tell you, when I heard that, I must confess, I was crying when that played on Michael's show because it brought back some memories of somebody that I lost last April.
Well, you know, that's one beautiful thing about song that, you know, certain songs hit certain, you know, music will always be around, but certain things are not. Music's been around forever, you know. Everybody has rhythm inside of them, and once a certain song hits you, you know, it can trigger all kinds of beautiful memories of friends, family, and stuff. And that song, we had been, I'd actually been playing that song out in my band for a while, and my producer was playing guitar with me at the time, and we were at Sony one day recording, and we had about 30 minutes left on a session we had booked in there, and Bobby looked at my producer, looks at me, and he goes, man, let's cut that old Bee Gees song you do.
Wow.
So we cut that song, and it's actually been one of the more popular things that I get requests for. You know, it's been a couple of wedding songs for some people, and you know, I was like, man, I wish I would have wrote that song 35 years ago.
Oh, you did justice to it, though. You did justice because when I heard it, you know, I forgot it was the Bee Gees, and I typed in the room to Marilyn. I said, Marilyn, who sang that song before? She says, oh, I can't remember, but a few people sing it besides him. I said, oh, man, he's doing justice to it.
Bee Gees did, and I think Michael Bolton had a big version of it. Hopefully that one's gonna be the next big one.
Yes, man, you did great. You did great. Listen, guys, I want to welcome guest 8495 to the chat. Call in with any questions that you have for Mr. Rexon Lee. He's a young musician, songwriter out of Alabama. Is where he is from, and as I say, I just connected with him a week ago, but he has such a rich legacy that he is doing in the music industry. And I listened to him and I said, I want to have this gentleman on the show. As a matter of fact, I hope he calls in. There is one of my past students have a son down in Atlanta who is looking to do some things in the music industry. And I said to her, tell him to listen tonight to the show and listen to the gentleman's story and call up and ask him some questions. So I hope he will not lose this opportunity because a lot of times people see people who are excelling and they think it is easy for them.
It's not.
No. So let's talk about when you started. When you realized that guitar did not get destroyed and you decide I got to do something. Let's talk about that journey from then until now, Rexon.
Let me see. I think I got real, real serious with music when I was 18. I played college baseball. And, we, you know, I always said baseball was always fun to me. And I said, whenever anything quits being fun for me, I don't want to do it anymore, especially when it's a game.
Right.
And by that time, music had really, really stepped in front of it. You know, it just kind of took first place over baseball. And I gave up baseball. And like anything else I've ever done, if I dive into something, I dive in all the way.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started playing out. I put together a little band. You know, I didn't even have a lead guitar player, me and two other dudes, and we were playing wherever we could. And I met my producer now. I met him, and I got introduced to him, and I played him One True Love and another song I had wrote. And these exact words to me were, I can't promise you a record deal, but I'll sit you down in front of somebody who can make it happen for you. And
wow.
Bobby, my producer, was in a mega group called Sawyer Brown.
Mm-hmm.
And they had won the first season of Star Search with Ed McMahon. Well, Ed McMahon, I think his name.
Mm-hmm.
And he did. He carried me to Nashville. I'd never been to Nashville, really. I was 19 years old. We walked straight into RCA and sat down in front of the vice president, Renee Bell, and I played her that song, One True Love. And, you know, ever since then, it was like a blur. It happened so quick. So I got a little developmental deal out of it, which means that I was a kid. I was 19.
Mm-hmm.
They, you know, they had a lot of interest in me, but I'm a kid. You know,
yes.
They
want to
see how I'm going to grow.
Mm-hmm.
And so I spent a year and a half with them, and a couple things didn't work out quite right. And I'm blessed for it because I wasn't ready for
mm-hmm.
a full-on
mm-hmm.
record deal, and I'll admit I wouldn't have known what to do with it. I would have messed it up, or something would have happened.
Right.
But I got to learn a lot of the business side of things
mm-hmm.
in Nashville when it comes to the music business and the songwriting mm-hmm. and how certain things need to go. And that I'm blessed for. That
mm-hmm.
I'm thankful for getting that out of that mm-hmm. whole spiel of success I was seeing at that time at my age.
Mm-hmm.
And ever since then, you know, I've kind of just took it upon myself to do what I need to do to try to get to where I need to get to.
That's
and,
right.
Go.
And that experience was a powerful experience because there you were being placed. I think
right.
that was destiny working out. You were placed in a mentoring situation that you could not have paid for yourself.
Correct. Yeah, I had when I signed, they were going to cut three songs on me. We're going to go in and record three songs. So I spent a year looking and trying to write three songs.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the songs we did, you know, they were really good songs. They just weren't the right time. That business is the right time, right place, right amount of luck kind of business.
Mm-hmm. And you prepare because you spent your time preparing for the success that you are now experiencing.
Right. You know, I took everything I learned out of that whole trip that I got to take, and now
mm-hmm.
when I play out, you know, I kind of know. There's a lot of stuff I've yet to learn that I'm trying to hurry up and learn. But but when it comes to a lot of, you know, I've learned from mistakes, and you know, I've made my share of them, and you know, I'll meet a couple kids. I say kids. I'm a kid. I'm 24. But when I meet a new guy that's 19, 20, or 21.
Mm-hmm.
That I see has got a lot of great potential in music.
Yes, yes.
And they come up and they ask me questions. You know, I just say, hey, I can't help you a whole lot, but I can tell you where I messed up at, and hopefully
That's
you
right.
won't mess up doing the same
That's
thing.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. And, you know, it is such, it speaks volume about who you are and your character and everything, because not everybody is willing to do that for others. So it speaks volume about who you are. I am going to try again, Rexton, and please help me to pray that One True Love will play this time, because when I clicked it before I uploaded it to the studio here, it played. So I'm praying it plays now. I'm going to try again, ladies and gentlemen. I am not hearing any sound here. I don't know what's happening to that. I guess I don't know if I'll have to go get it again and upload it again, and I'll have to play it on a different show. I'm going to try I'm Over You, Rexton. I'm not very... All right. And now I'm just getting one sound out of I'm Over You.
Hmm.
Oh, well. Tell me about... Tell us about what... Oh, what a shame. Tell us about what happened when you wrote One True Love.
It was funny. That's one of the only few songs I ever wrote about an ex-old flame of mine. And it was a long... I was 18 when I wrote that song. And so I was just a kid, you know. I still say kid, but I feel like I'm 40 some days.
You're too funny.
I was 18, and I wrote that song in no more than 30 minutes. And
wow.
It just sat down, and there's songs that, you know, a lot of the big songs you hear on the radio that are just super mega hits or songs that just came easy to whoever wrote it. And that song was, you know, that song's always just stuck with me. It's always been, you know, just that first song, you know, the experience I was going through at the time of young love and heartache and the whole nine yards that come with the, you know, the whole teen experience. But I got a couple good songs out of it. I got, you know, I always try to turn to music when...
That's right.
I'm not a good expresser of my feelings until I get very aggravated at somebody, and then I'll speak up. But I'll turn to that to say how I'm feeling. And
okay, Rexton, I don't know. I was trying to click directly on the MP3 to see if it will play. So let's see what's happening here. Oh, come on. I'm just getting that one beat. Boom, that's all. Not sure what happened here. So,
that technology is funny. We were in a South Carolina plane, and you're talking about technology messing up on you. Our monitor rig, which allows us to hear ourselves when we're playing,
We
had this real high-tech digital board that you press a button, everything moves, and it's way over my head. But anyways, long and short of it, we were about to walk on stage. There's about 300 people in this place waiting on us to start playing, and we're about to walk on stage, and the entire board fried. The entire hard drive and everything just crashed on us when we walked on stage. And I was like, oh, high-tech stuff to get you all every time.
Yeah. So I'm going to have to ask you to resend them to me, and I will play them on the show at different times and tell people. I appreciate. We are going to continue speaking until the other guest calls in. She's going to be calling in at 7:45. But I heard you mention that you're going to be going. Are you going on tour, or you just came back from tour or something?
We're currently playing right now. We've been out. We've been out for about 5 months solid. December I usually slow down a little bit. Gets real family oriented around that time, and I just need a break from it. But but once the CD's out, we're going to hit it hard. January, we'll be right back out in full swing. We'll play the Southeast a lot. Every now and then we swing up north.
Mm-hmm.
At one time or another, I was getting a lot of radio play in like the Michigan area and up north, up that way. So I'd go up there and play some. And I think we're going to try to get another run and go up there and try to promote the album up there again and do that. But, you know, if you check out RextonLee.com,
yes,
see all the tour dates, all the events, everything that's going on, keeping up with us. My useless, I call them my useless tweets on Twitter and Facebook, where I just sit here and say, hey, I'm staring at the wall today. Because everybody else does that, you know, so I figured, why not?
When you come north, how far north do you come to?
The most north I've been is Midland, Michigan.
Oh, when you say north, I think you're talking New York and Connecticut and New Jersey and Delaware.
girl, I'm from Alabama. I don't know if I can handle New York yet.
I have to tell Michael that to make sure you really get the North experience.
I get upset here. I mean, my hometown in Alexander City, Alabama, I think we've got about, I don't know the exact figure, but it's between 12,000 and 15,000, 16,000 people in population. And I get mad when I'm sitting at a red light and there's, you know, 10 cars there, you know. Why there's so many vehicles on the road right now? I couldn't handle New York, I don't think.
So you have never been to New York?
I have never been to New York.
Oh, my heavens, you got to put it on your list of things to do. And guess what? When you are there, you won't have to be driving. You're going to be in dilemma. You just need to. You just need to be ducking from the cameras and flashing all over the place. So you won't have to
worry about. That'd be wonderful.
Oh, that's wonderful. Okay, I want you to take the next 5 minutes or so just to wrap up. What you want to leave the listeners with, and especially those young children who know they have a love for music and what are anything, the arts, anything that they feel they have a love for, what would you like to tell them?
Any kid that's wanting to play music as a career, follow your dream. Don't be blindsided by negativity from other people who envy you for you following your dream. That's something I've experienced in my time. Be you. Don't try to conform to somebody else's mold of you. Be who you are. That's how you're created, to be you. Everybody's different for a reason. Mm-hmm. And when it comes to the artistic side of people who may not be in music but may be in the painting, you know, just express yourself. Nobody knows who you are until you express yourself and let somebody know who you are.
That's right. So, and again,
I'll keep it short and simple with that.
No, that's okay. That's all right, because they like to hear from young people like them. And I think that lady lose her opportunity to know your age because she didn't call in. Oh, well, that's her problem. So, again, your record is coming out on November the 20th.
Mm-hmm.
And run it over again. Tell people where you're going to be again and your website, please, Rexton.
The record will be on iTunes. The record will be, you can buy it off my website, RextonLee.com. Mm-hmm. If you're in the South, you ever come see us play, I promise you I'll have them with me. We'll try to get into Best Buy and those other venues soon enough, hopefully. It's a tough avenue without a record label to try to get into the distributors.
We're going to pray to penetrate all those obstacles so you can get into where you need to get into. Because
Awesome. Thank you so much.
It's good music. And, you know, please resend me the MP3 for the other two that I couldn't play so that I can include them in my playlist here for my my listeners to listen to. I look forward to having you back on the show. Is there anything else you would like to speak about that I did not ask you?
Just to say thank you for having me. I greatly appreciate the opportunity, and I can't wait to get back on here. You know,
yes,
hopefully real soon.
All right, now. Well, you let me know when the record is coming out and, you know, when you want to come on, and let's just make it happen. Continued success in everything that you do. And I am so proud of you for the statement that you have made about when you perform and what's in your mind. And I know that every parent will honor you for that statement because they know that you are very alert, you are very aware of the image that you portray for the younger people. So all I can say is that God continue to bless you. May you continue to be a beacon of light in the life of young people and to let them know if you can do it, so can they, and that they should never, never, ever give up.
Well, thank you so much for that. And, you know, hopefully that'll stick in a bunch of kids' heads.
Yes.
You know, the whole never giving up thing. Can't give up on it.
That's right. That's right. So I want to thank you so, so very much. You have one more opportunity to say a closing thought, if you may.
You know, it's the opportunities I've been blessed with. You know, I thank the Lord every day for them. And, you know, there's always a higher power looking down. Times get rough. Don't think you're the only one in the world that's having a tough time. there's other people out there. Be blessed to have what you have and live your day like that.
Wonderful.
And, so I think I'll leave it with that, you know.
Okay.
A few words, I think. Thank you so much for having me, sweetie. I truly appreciate it.
It was a pleasure, Exton. And let's stay connected, my brother.
We will. Thank you so much.
Okay.
God bless.
God bless you. You're very welcome. Yes, that was Mr. Rexton Lee. And in the weeks ahead, you'll hear his other music. Technology has a mind of his own. My other guest is in the green room. And before I bring her on live, I want to share one more from Celebrating 365 Days of Gratitude. And this one comes from Melissa Ann Lawson. And it's "Thank You for This Day." I love walking in nature, especially during the early mornings. It's my time to connect with spirit and all that I am grateful for. I look forward to the simple pleasures of predicting how many bunnies will cross my path or if I will see Woody and Emma, the two woodpeckers, noisily searching for breakfast atop the leafless tree. Nature has a way of lifting me up. She's dependable. I don't have to be anyone but myself in nature. I don't have to please anyone. Nature accepts me unconditionally, no matter how I look or act. I am walking. I'll often start singing a simple song. Thank you for this day, Spirit. Thank you for this day. This wonderful, this beautiful, this healing day. I'll often change the lyrics to include what else I'm grateful for? Sunshine, laughter, hugs, butterflies, friends, and list is endless. By the time I arrive home, I am so filled with immense appreciation for my very filled life that I wonder how it can get any better. Yet, I know that beginning my day in such joyful vibrations opens the rest of my day to endless miracles. And that was from another of the co-authors of Celebrating 365 Days of Gratitude. So now I want to bring on my other honored guest. You have heard her on the show occasionally. She is never able to join in the chat room and be quiet. She's always, always adding value to my show. So I'm honored that she had the time available tonight so that she can join us in here, Doc Vaj, to speak about something new that she is doing. So again, be part of the dialogue. The number to call is 646-915-8166. Doc Vaj, how are you?
I am good this evening. Can you hear me clearly?
I can hear you clearly, my dear.
Very good. Thank you for fitting me into your schedule. I considered that instant response from you as, you know, a pound on the head with the hammer, that this was definitely the right title, because that was like instant. It was wonderful. It really was good.
You know, I get so tickled when people are obedient and things begin to manifest, because a lot of times people tend to be going around in circles, chasing their shadows. And a lot of time, even when spirit is bopping us in our head, we're still not doing what needs to be done. So it's an honor to see somebody who takes action. So before we get into, because I like to talk and you like to talk, but tell the people who you are.
Well, my name is Vajrayana. Most people just call me Doc Vaj or Vaj because they claim they can't say the name. And I am a mystic. I have been tied up, bound up in the metaphysical realm of human existence for about 30 years because no matter what successes I was afforded when I was younger, the mystery of why has plagued me since I was a little girl. And now that we are closing out a world age, people like myself around the world that have been serious about understanding that the work is on ourselves, we are being positioned so that those that are awakening from the nightmare can find their way to us so that they can take the short path back to remembering themselves as divine, holy, sovereign, beyond what they're looking at in the mirror, because it's all about remembering that we are first spiritual beings that are here in the earth by choice, and that the human experience is second to being the spiritual being.
Because, you know, a lot of people have it on the reverse. They think they are human that is having a spiritual experience, but it's the other way around, that we are spiritual beings having a human experience. And once we get that clarity of life, then we are going to find out that there is so much more that's going to be coming our way. I let me check in with this caller, and then I'm going to let you continue. Hello, caller. Your last four digits are 8265. Would you be kind to state your name and where you're calling from, please?
My name is Jamal, and I'm calling from Atlanta, Georgia.
Well, Jamal, you are so late. You were calling to speak with Rexton, right?
Yes.
I guess your mom did not tell you what time to call. But
I think she's okay.
That's okay because he was on from 7 until 7:45. However,
okay.
I know what this lady, Dr. Vaj, is about to speak will impart some light into what you are looking to do. So I want for you to stay tuned, and then you can go back and listen to the conversation with Rexton Lee and myself.
Mm-hmm.
And you will hear what he says there. And I had mentioned to him that you were supposed to be calling.
Mm-hmm.
And you can connect with him through there, because I know that he will be really beneficial with you with what you're doing. And congratulations on what you're doing, as a matter of fact.
Okay, I appreciate that.
So I am going to put you back, but I want you to listen to this other guest, because what she's saying, grab a pen and pad in the meantime, because it's going to be beneficial to you.
Okay.
All right. Yes, so that young man, I'm Doc Vaj. He's the son of one of my past students.
Mm-hmm.
And he's doing something magnificent in the musical industry. And I just know that Rexton would have been good for him to speak with. And I did make mention of him to Rexton on the show, but...
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well.
I heard you.
Yes.
He hadn't called in yet. Well, the fact that he's in Atlanta is important. And
you're in Atlanta. Look at
that. And if he hasn't gotten, depending on where he has moved to in his aspirations with the music, the second volume of my book, the second volume of my series is for people that are hungry to get their music published, their CDs, their DVDs, their books, and their poetry that are still stuck in a belief system that you need all this money or contacts to do that. So either way, he can gain some other perspectives on how to take some more steps toward his dream.
Right, and I knew that. That's why I told him to don't hang up, to wait, because I know he's still going to be getting value added here.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
So... I apologize for that. I stopped you in the midst of your thought.
Nope, that was enough for people, because you and I know that people resonate with your voice. If they mm-hmm. don't feel it, I don't care if they don't believe in these things. A lot of times people resonate with you. They don't know why. They, you know, on retrospect, they will say, I didn't understand what her language or whatever, but it felt good. And that's the whole objective, to get people to get a feeling for your vibe. And if that doesn't inspire them to look into what you're doing on the planet, then it's their loss, or maybe it's just not their time.
That is powerful. That is powerful, what you just said. And I've never really thought about it that way, but it is the truth. That is truth. It is truth. Let's talk about the evolution that took place with you a few days ago.
Mm-hmm. Very extraordinary. Again, people do not get the value of knowing that there is a guiding voice always available to you, but most people have got so many voices in their head, they don't know which voice to follow, and the voice that they choose to follow is rarely the voice that's leading them up into their dream. It's leading them into more of the same or worse. And because I spend so much time by myself and I know the voice of spirit, when I was guided to get back to you after I didn't have any success finding the book that you had told me someone had published, Spirit said, you know, email you. And when you gave me his name and I went looking, you know, and I found the Vuja De term, it absolutely blew me away, you know.
So we're here
today because of my obedience, because my new title as far as my new branding with this deja vu therapy caused you to tell me about a man named Simon T. Bailey, who you thought at that moment that the name of his book was Deja Vu, and it wasn't, but the fact that I had to go find it led me to his two books. I spent time and his energy on YouTube, and because of all of that, and I see he has a Christian background, but it doesn't matter, because he is no less a mystic than I, because he is not traditional. He has taken the foundational wisdom and found his way to his glory, and he is teaching other people the same quality of stuff that I teach, but he is a quote-unquote success on the planet because he's made the right connections, he did his work, and now the joy of being renowned at what he does is so spectacular, and it helped me create the title for this book. Yeah.
I'm going to tell you something else that's going to blow your mind that I didn't tell you.
Ooh, what's that?
He has Jamaican roots, too. That's where his papa is from.
Well, see, this whole thing of me and you Jamaican people is getting on my last nerve, woman. I'm telling you. It's all good. It's all good. It doesn't surprise me.
I say I wasn't going to tell her anything. I'll tell her that at another time. It was too much for her to handle now. So I wasn't going to tell her. And it's funny because maybe about 4 years ago, I have a friend up in Rochester, New York. And she and I met on LinkedIn. And she said, you know, I met this gentleman. He's Jamaican. And you got to meet Simon. You must meet Simon. He reminds me so much of you, she said. And I had never heard about Simon T. Bailey. Never heard about him until Jennifer, my Caucasian sister up in Rochester, New York, is the one who told about it. So let me tell you something. When the universe sees something that needs to happen, universe is so faithful in letting these relationships happen. And because there's so much on the universe for each and every one of us, we don't have to worry about being competitive.
There's no such thing as that at the universal level. That's what man has taught us. Very true. He's just dynamic, and the vital thing, I want to share some of his insights, because although you and I both understand the value of bringing other people's wisdom. Number one, it lets people understand that we know that this is not about us.
That's
you know,
right.
It's not about us. I mean, our lights are important, but when people, the more things that people begin to see are lining up like ducks in a row, the more they have reason to give value to stuff they've dismissed, devalued, or never considered. And this man is worthy of every person on the planet that is not living the life of their dreams, because
mm-hmm.
that's the only thing we came here to do, and
that's
we
right.
are so far away from it. The more people pile up teaching us in their own way, you know, with the missing link pieces, sooner or later, you know, you can make a choice. So Simon T. Bailey, I'm going to quote a few things of his so that you can understand the relevance of it to my metaphysical
mm-hmm.
teachings, because
mm-hmm.
no matter his background, he's teaching the same thing. We just use different
mm-hmm.
language. And
language.
This first statement is profound for anybody. Everyone's talking about the shift and the planet
mm-hmm.
shifting and people are shifting. These are the kind of things that resonate with what I speak, that I'm quoting Simon T. Bailey. This is the key one, and I'm going to say it two times.
Mm-hmm.
Shift, S-H-I-F-T, shift
mm-hmm.
happens
mm-hmm.
when the shifted decide to become the shifter.
Mm-hmm.
Again,
mm-hmm.
shift happens when the shifted decide to become the shifter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then this is the profound one here. The moment you commit to being significantly brilliant,
mm-hmm.
meant to shine, everyone that has been assigned to help you and aid you in this hour will begin to
show up,
email you,
call
that's
right.
you, almost mm-hmm. as if they have been summoned to you because
mm-hmm.
you decided to get out of the boat and move into a brilliant reality.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
That is profound.
That's
that
right.
That is just profound because we think stuff happens from the outside in, and it
mm-hmm.
doesn't.
No, it's from the inside out.
That's right. As soon as you
inside
make a
out.
Decision in the universe,
vision,
everything
yep.
changes,
mm-hmm.
but you have to be paying attention. So
right.
this book, you know, I had two titles for this book. I mean, the first two books were easy. I got them up, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going through other stuff that wasn't panning out in my life, and I was really frustrated. So I created a couple more titles, a couple
mm-hmm.
more book jackets. And they sounded great, but I don't do the writer's block thing. I don't have any problem with the flow as
mm-hmm.
long as I've created the title, the
mm-hmm.
book jacket, and
mm-hmm.
I've done the outline for the table of contents. That's my
mm-hmm.
formula. Then Spirit just fills it all up.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
that's my formula, which is different from a lot of people. We all have a formula. That one
mm-hmm.
works for me as a
that's
person
right.
that knows who I've been before, that knows writing is not second nature, first nature. But when I wasn't able to have an interest in it, I just sat. And then all of the other frustrations were kicking in on me. So when
mm-hmm.
I linked into this word, Vujade, the
mm-hmm.
spiral of the energy kept going up and up and up. And I went back and I looked at my book jackets. And Spirit said, simply just change it to bridging the gap between
mm.
déjà vu and vujade. And
wow.
what's important is what vujade means. We
means,
all know
yeah.
that
we
have an idea of what déjà vu is.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Déjà vu, in simple terms that no one can possibly deny, déjà vu is simply the feeling, the sensations in yourself that happen when you're in a moment, in a place
mm-hmm.
with a person, smelling a fragrance, looking
mm-hmm.
at a building, and it feels like you have been there before.
Before.
You know it. But the key is the definition would lead you to believe that it's an illusion.
Mm-hmm.
According to the dictionary, okay, déjà vu first appeared around 1900, and the
mm-hmm.
psychological meaning of the word is the illusion of having
mm-hmm.
previously experienced something. Remember, the powers that be don't want us to know about past lives and reincarnation.
Mm-hmm.
They don't
mm-hmm.
want us digging into anything that will help us wake up, so they create terms like illusion, and they
mm-hmm.
slap them up with a term that's all about past lives, because déjà
mm-hmm.
vu is evidence that you've been here before, that you've been in this energy before, whether it's the person, whether it's the neck of the woods, the physical location, the aroma of the incense, the flavor of the rice, whatever it is, it means that you have experienced it before. So the Vuja De is a term that Simon clarifies in another article of his that I found. George Carlin, who is my favorite comedian, coined the phrase Vuja De, but to George, it simply meant the opposite of deja vu. Now, how can there be, think about it, how can there be an opposite of deja vu? Okay, if you're getting a feeling that you've been here before, you've done this before, or familiarity, the opposite of it would be no more than a new experience, period. So it didn't make sense. But Simon's definition of it gave it substance.
Yes.
It gave me something to play with because the principle, I went online, the word now, Vuja De, now has pages. You can go to the Urban Dictionary and it can tell you what Vuja De means. It says that it's the word is the reverse of deja vu and the opposite definition as well. The definition is to experience something that you have never even thought of before.
And
not even in your wildest imagination. So, I went on a mission, you know, and they give you an explanation. So if you go to the urbandictionary.com, it'll help you understand this word. Simon's idea of it, Simon takes it a little bit further. And it was his idea of what the word was that yielded this idea. So my objective with this book, because past lives has more to do with your current life than anyone would ever believe, is to use the clarity on what deja vu is, because once a person gets triggered within their own head, within their own heart, when they get triggered and enough little things start piling up that make sense, their own curiosity will rise and nature will take its course, and then they will want to know more about deja vu, and by wanting to know more about their past, they will come to a new way of being able to see their present, and they can harness all of the gifts that are already tied up inside of them, revealed through astrology, revealed through the divine calendar, revealed through lots of things, and then create the new experiences, which will be the Vuja De.
Let me ask you a question. How connected are our present contracts / purpose and calling and the journeys that we are on now? How is that connected to past life, if it is?
It's everything. The idea is that knowledge of our past lives, coupled with, first, before you can awaken knowledge of anything, you have to be open to letting go of all of the ideas that the world has taught you against it. Just being willing to have a mustard seed's worth of faith that opening your mind to explore this can be worthy of you, it can be beneficial of you, it can offer you unparalleled advantages, because everything about who you are now, this lifetime, no matter what age you are, is rooted in who you've been before and what you're here to do for the rest of humanity, because you are here now. So it has everything to do with it. So the idea of coming to believe that you've been here before and then learning how to unravel the mystery of the good parts and to heal the negative, because the soul is wonderful. It is antique. It is as old as dirt, you know, but it has negatives, so the soul has stuff to be healed, but the high part of the soul that is governed by the spiritual, the purity of God, because each of us has an essence that is the purity of God that is uncontaminated by the soul's issues. And once we begin inquiring of spirit, that inquiry can lead the soul to come under the governance of the spirit, and then the human element can come under the governance of the spirit, and everything can be healed. So we can clear our fears and our pains, we can heal our heart, take back our power, and whatever it is in our heart that we want, we can then create it, because we're remembering who we are as divinely intelligent beings of light that just happen to have contracts to come down here and do stuff for the whole of humanity, no matter how big or small it may be.
Is there a difference between one's soul and one's subconscious?
Not in accordance with some teachings. I understand the relativity of the soul for my purposes, but because the language is so convoluted, I tend not to say it. But from my mystic's perspective, not my merely human crappy perspective, the soul and the subconscious mind are one and the same. They're one and the same because the subconscious mind is the part of you that goes to get stuff. It does the stuff. It that is the part that does the magic for you. The conscious mind is only a cup. The conscious mind is not here to create, to do anything but receive. If what it's receiving is congruent with anything that's already in your brain's database, it will allow you to retain it. But if you are talking to someone like me and you've never had any of this information implanted into your brain's database this lifetime, and you just listen to me one time, all of that conversation is going to wash away. Because you must dance with it, you must play with it, you must think about it and talk about it and feel about it, because that's the only way the conscious mind will allow it to then be pressed down into your subconscious mind, which is where all of your historic knowledge of every lifetime is.
That's the hard drive. So then where does one's conscience comes into play?
Conscience, from my perspective, has to do with the collective. Again, it's a soul-level thing that must be revived every time you come into the earth plane, because in addition to all you have been before, whoever you have picked, chosen, selected for your parents, each of them have bloodlines that have heredity, that have soul-level memories, that have belief systems that are being passed on to you. So here comes your soul. It has picked mama and daddy, whatever the combination of the genes, pools, and all of that stuff that makes up who you are. You've now got all that on top of all you've ever been, so which means that you have more rubble and debris to move through and sort through when you get into spiritual questioning. It's a very hard thing, or it can be very hard when we're trapped in religion.
And, you know, you said that, and as I listen to you go through these different stages, and I think of a term that is prevalently used in the Christian community about generational curses.
Oh, God, yes. Yeah, and they believe it. And see, that's the whole thing. My mother used to say that when I was really young, when my father was going through changes. She used to say stuff like, I think we are cursed. And, of course, as a kid, it didn't mean anything. But when you find that you're a strange kid, that you never fit in, you never believed, you never got bogged down with all of the negatives that our parents did not, and they had no idea. Remember, most of our parents don't know anything about metaphysics. They don't know about psychology. They don't know that what we say, what children, they don't even, look, it took them two generations to figure out that children don't do what you say. They do what you do. You know, so talking to your kid about not smoking and you're a smoker is like blowing smoke up someone's butt. You know, kids do what you do. They don't do what you say. So if you're not exampling what you're talking about, the kid's going to do what you're exampling, you know, or for the most part. So we have lots to unravel, but I have found that the key to all of this, Daphne, is desire. If a person has one deep and burning, relentlessly burning desire that will not go away, they've tried to bury it and forget it, but they know they do not want to live without living this dream, that one desire can inspire them to get serious about everything, because the power, the wisdom, all of that is within them. They just require another human being, not a book, not a CD, another human being's attention on them to help them want to believe that there is hope, there is help, and there is healing, because they can have whatever that thing is. But
and that's
don't
why...
have,
That's why the Holy Book says when two or three agree on a thing and you gather and agree on it, that will manifest.
That's correct.
At what time of your life did you realize that I need to be engaging in some other conversations around my religious affiliation, my spiritual health, and all of that? When did that come?
To my good fortune, yeah, my mother was a Christian. She's, you know, still with us on the planet. She didn't, you know, after we were 12, you know, we went to church every now and then. I didn't get trapped in it, because if I was trapped in it, I would be a different person. But I, as the black sheep, as the one that was weird, you know, in my 20s, I got introduced to astrology. And the first report that I got was telling me all of these wonderful qualities and things that I never heard in my family. I never heard at school, because I was a nightmare for my parents. I was a nightmare for the people in the school system. And it was because of the magical things that that first report told me about myself. That's what put me on my path. Because there's no way that these things were real, and I wasn't going to unravel the mystery as why no one. Was it about 2 years ago? I was listening to someone speak, and they said something that absolutely broke me down as a woman. At that point, I was 64, and it was a hard thing to confess. But because of it, I teach everyone. Can you imagine what it would be like to be 64, and I've had my fair share of success and my fair share of nightmares, to realize no one ever had said to me in my life, "I am proud of you."
Wow, my God.
Ever.
My God.
It just destroyed me to realize it. But because of that, I make sure every person that touches my life understands.
Yes.
Everyone in your life has something that you can tell them
that you're
proud of them about,
and that you're loving them. I want to go back to the young man from Atlanta to see if he has a question for
Certainly.
You. Do you have a question, Totson? Do you have a question?
Not at the current moment. I have been listening to everything, and it's kind of given me more motivation. My main thing is, how do you sit down and just make that decision to just completely, like, let everything go and follow your dreams?
Well, it depends upon how indoctrinated you are in what you've been taught and what's been example to you. If, again, that desire, we're not talking about a desire that you can kick under the curb because you got to pay rent. If you know that you have talent, if someone outside of your warm circle has already confirmed that your talent is extraordinary, whether it's your voice, whether it's whatever it is, because we humans need outside confirmation that there's something extraordinary coming through our vessel. If you have not received that, even if you had the greatest parents that gave you all of the love and affection and attention, because they are not in the business and they are not well known, just them telling you that you're great is never going to be enough.
We have one more caller, and I'm going to check in with that caller. Just bear with me a minute. But I tell you, Doc Vaj, I am excited about what you just said to him, because his mother sent me the link to his YouTube video. It's titled A Night in Paris.
Okay.
And I watched it, and I tell you, I was proud of the young man, so proud that I put it on my Facebook page. And you know me, I don't put no crap on my page, because that's my brand. And I was proud of him, and I put it there. So if you go on my page, you can get a sample of his work. We have another caller. I'm going to check in with this caller here. Caller, your first three digits are 586. Please state your name and where you're calling from, please.
Good evening. My name is SJ. I'm calling from the Metro Detroit area.
Hello, Miss SJ. How are you?
Fantastic.
How you doing, Miss SJ?
Hi, how are you? How's everyone?
I'm good. Thanks for calling.
All right. Do you have a question?
I actually don't have a question. I actually just called in, and you caught me again. There's no hiding.
All right. So you're just listening and supporting a friend, I would take it.
Absolutely. Two friends.
All right. Wonderful. So listen, what I want for you to do is to mark this show a favorite so you can follow me and be kept informed of all the things that we are doing. And if you would grant me the favor, if you would grant me the favor also of visiting DaphneClarkHudsonEmpowers.com, I would greatly appreciate that. I muted her because I heard some noise. So it's always an honor when you have people who turn up. So, yeah, just to go back to Tot's son, he's doing his best, and I listened to the video, and I didn't hear no cussing in it and none of that stuff. So I put it up on my page. And you can know he's eager to learn and to be connected to people that would add value, because if that was not so, he would not have picked up the phone to call from Atlanta. Atlanta is warm. He could be out doing some other stuff. But he is calling because he is searching. And I know before long, he will be where he is deserving to be.
Well, his question is paramount, and there's more that can be added. The question was, how can you know how to do this and let go? Number one, it depends upon how. Can I ask? What are you 25 or younger?
He's 25.
Okay, 25, 26. Your whole life is going to change because you're closing out the second set of 13 years in your life. So everything in your life is going to change. Now, I don't know what you believe in as far as spiritual things, but because your birth date is the holiest day of your year, much of what you agree to do on this planet is tied up in that information. So if you want to know how to let go of everything else, it depends upon what your current living conditions are, whether you're able to sustain yourself without employment, what kind of contacts that you have, and understanding that the whole music industry has changed now. They no longer care about talent. They ain't coming knocking on your door. They really care about millions of hits on YouTube. I understand that now they come and get those kind of people. So depending upon how much faith you have in yourself, letting go of anything that's incongruent with that which makes you joyful, that makes you happy, that is enriching, uplifting, and enlivening you is not hard. And it begins with the people that you would spend your time with.
All right. So did you get the answer? Tatsun. Hello? Okay. I don't know what happened. All right. So we have 12 minutes remaining. And I want you to tell people, because you have a show of your own. I want you to tell people about the other two books that you have out and when the third one is going to be completed and all of that, please.
Yeah, I have two channels here on Blog Talk. One is just the self-preservation, no dashes in between, blogtalkradio.com, self-preservation. I've cleaned out all of the broadcasts because I have found that with the new world that is coming on the 21st of December, I've got a whole new way of dealing with people and things. I have been guided to close down my main metaphysical website, and only through requests do people get to go there. Why? Because when you make too much light and wisdom and love available to people randomly, they don't do anything with it. When they ask, that means desire exists. And when desire exists, they're more likely to take themselves seriously when they can't access it willy-nilly. So the first book is the book that I am focusing on now because it can help everyone who is in the United States especially understand that no one is addressing the root cause of why people who lose their ability to pay their rent and mortgages for whatever reason finally wind up in the shelter and on the streets. And this book is a simple, short guidebook that can crystallize our ability to see this and do something new about it. The book is called Set Your Boundaries, How to Help Loved Ones Facing Homelessness Without Hurting You. And the problem is people throw their doors open to save someone from being homeless, and that's all they do. They don't have a plan. They don't have accountability. They don't understand what these people have been through, and they hold their tongue, and within weeks, if not days, they're asking them to leave because it's more than they expected. They don't live the same way. They have different values. There is much consideration that we can give to each other when we love each other. And this simple guidebook makes it impossible for people to not understand that throwing your door open to loved ones means more than putting a roof over their head. Volume 2 is really for people that are still suffering from the delusion that they require a lot of money or contacts to publish. It is called $0 Self-Publishing. It is for scribes, singers, musicians, filmmakers to turn their dream into reality for $0, period. You don't have to believe it. The books are online, Amazon.com. You can look inside. And each of them, all the books in my series, are really geared for workshops and seminars because books do not empower people to make radical changes. It is getting into the author's energy, getting excited about your potential, and then standing with them face-to-face or through teleconferences so you know how to apply the wisdom that you got excited about and to take yourself seriously. So the third book, I may start it this month and I may not because I'm moving. Something is going to happen to move me up out of where I'm at into the next level because the writing of the book is easy. But this is number three, this is the catalyst book. This is the metaphysical book for people of every persuasion that don't believe in anything but they have a dream, that they had a nightmare but they don't know how to get out of it and they want something. They've got to have one desire for this volume three to be tantalizing enough for them to take it serious.
All right. And your show is on when?
I don't have any regular. I just do it as spirit.
They're
short segments. They're 40-minute segments and self-preservation. The other one is just Doc-Vaj, which is only for my books. But more importantly, the website is DocVajBooks.biz, D-O-C-V like Victory, A-J dot biz, B like Boy, I like Ivan, Z like Zula Zule. That has all of the books and other information that you can go there and see what is happening because this new time we're moving into is for everyone to rise up and take their power back. We have the power to do it. We just have to have the desire.
All right. So, again, I just thank you for coming on.
Oh, thanks for having me. I appreciate the offer.
And I want to remind people to check on my new platform, Daphne Clark Hudson Empowers, and share it with your friends. We are on here every Sunday between 7 and 8:30 p.m., and we are on Wednesdays at between 10 and 12 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And if you have a story, and if you know somebody that has a great story, please encourage them to call me. Let me hear about the story and see how it adds value to their lives and to other people's lives. I want to encourage each and every one to look around and see if the company you are in, whether it is adding to you or it is draining you. And you look into yourself as well. Are you adding to or are you a parasite? And know when the season is over and when it's time to exit. Because it is your responsibility to make sure that at all times, your association and your company is adding for your greater good. If you are in any situation that is not for the greater good, you don't need to be there. And for those of you who are living in Connecticut or upstate New York, this Monday between, let me see what time, between 3 and 6 p.m., I am taping a one-hour special in the TV studio, a holiday special. So if you want to be part of the TV studio audience on November the 14th, 2012, between the hours of 3 and 6 p.m., we are taping our holiday special, which will be aired on the 21st of November. So if you are in the Danbury area, stop by, or if you're in Bridgeport, just stop by and to be part of the TV studio. Anyone who is a listener of the show, we would like to have you in the studio to just celebrate with us. I want to thank my two amazing guests, Roxton Lee out of Alabama and Doc Vaj out of Atlanta. And for the guests that are listening online and for those who are in the chat room and for the two people that calling on the phone, I thank you, I honor you, and I appreciate you, because if we don't have listeners, we have no show. So I honor and support each of every one of you. Thank you for your support. I am so, so grateful of you. Remember that you were created for a destiny. Regardless of what the circumstances look like, do not get off your path. It doesn't matter what anybody else tells you. This journey is for you to travel. I want for you to go the distance.
My destiny. Come on, you declare it to the Lord. You've been called to change nations.